Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's great to have you here this morning. Love to see you again this evening. 7:30, we have our GPS service. It's a much more informal gathering. It's an opportunity for people to try out their gifts in a setting that's not perhaps quite so intimidating as this enormous crowd here this morning. It'd be quite a quiet, reflective service this evening. That's at 7:30, lasts just under the hour. So if you'd like to come, we'd love to have you here. Can I just remind you again about the community conversation, which is coming up on the 17th of June. That's a Saturday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. This is one of 100,000 big lunch and community get-together events going on up and down the country. The local council are heavily invested in it. They're promoting it through all of their networks, as are we through ours. It's an opportunity to get together with the people who live here in Newbury and to say, what kind of a place do we want it to be? And I think it's really exciting for the church to be at the heart of that. So please do come along and join in with that if you can. What a week. What a week. 22 people killed in Manchester on a night out. 28 Christians on a bus in Egypt, murdered because they were Christians. We're going to stand together and remember them. I was going to say in silence, but in as close to it as we can, and then I'm going to pray. Let's stand together as we remember these things that have happened this week. So much sadness. Let's stand together in quietness in God's presence. Father, we remember this morning the families of those who died, plagued by questions and weighed down with sadness. We remember the first responders who saw things they will struggle to forget. We remember the wounded whose wounds are in heart and mind as well as body. We remember those who right now are planning such things and pray that you might stay their hands. O God, on this morning, on a day when the world itself is wounded, we ask you to hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Nation. darkness in our world today is so great. Thank you for sending your Son to be our light. Thank you for the hope that we have in him.
Please sit down. And as you do so, can you just turn around and look at that window behind me? Just look at that window with the cross on it. Just as we were singing great celebrations on that final day, just now, a dove flew across that window. If you could just do it next week on Pentecost Sunday, that would be even better. But it was just a lovely moment. You know, God holds even a fractured world in his hands. We believe that. That's what we declare when we worship together. That God holds this world in his hands. Now, talking of prayer, I'm going to hand over the prayer bag this week. I'm not going to tell you anything about what's in it because Ruth is.
Okay, well, if you want to find out a bit more about the red bag and you're a bit little and you can't see, if you want to come and sit down at the front, then you're most welcome to come.
Let's put these down, shall we?
You've got some mats to sit on because we might be getting a bit mucky in a minute.
Can you help me spread that one out so you can get your own? Brilliant. There we are. Fabulous. Thank you.
Now, last week we had open house here in the afternoon, and I think some of you were here at open house. I can see one of you that was here at open house. So if you were here, can you remember what we looked at in open house? Is it that hard? This bag should give you a clue. Look, we were looking at different kinds of prayer. Oh, you had your hand up. Is that what you were going to say? We were looking at different kinds of prayer, different ways that we can talk to God. And to help us, we had a mirror. And with the mirror, we had some pens. We had some strips of paper that looked like this. And we had some Play-Doh, which is always useful when you're praying. Now, what I'd like to do is to start off with the Play-Doh, and I'd like you, if you're sitting on the mat, to take a bit of Play-Doh, and I want you to make something that you are thankful to God about, something that you want to say thank you to God for. You can either get some Play-Doh from Richard, or you can get some Play-Doh from me, but if you can try and sit on the mat as you're doing the Play-Doh, that would be great, and it doesn't get knocked into the carpet. Right, while they're all busy making their things that they're thankful for, I thought for the rest of you, you might be a bit interested in what we've done here. So we had some mirrors out. Can anyone remember what kind of prayer the mirrors were for if you were here last week? Jemima? For sorry prayers, yes, if you were going to say something you're sorry about. So we realised that in the mirror you can see your own face, and so what you had to do on your mirror is you had to draw something that you were sorry about. I'm drawing my cross face because I'm sorry about the times that I get cross. And then we were saying that as you look at yourself in the mirror, you can pray to God and say sorry for the things that you've drawn, and then you can rub it off. And then you find that instead of seeing the thing that you're sorry about, you just see your face in the mirror, and about how when we pray to God, he's taking away the things that we're saying sorry for. So that was one of the things we looked at. The other thing that would be nice for you to come and have a look at towards the end is on these strips of paper, we wrote down prayers that we wanted to ask God for. These were our please prayers, which we then wove to make a prayer. I was going to say a prayer mat, but that might have different connotations. But we made a piece of prayer fabric of all our please prayers. And there are some lovely prayers on here of things that people were asking for, not just for themselves, but for their family and their friends. So come and have a read of that later on. And on the board over there, you can also see in a heart some of the things that we wanted to say to God that we loved about him. So they are also in the heart, as well as pictures of the things that people made out of Play-Doh on Sunday. But I'm hoping that you have finished your things here, and I can see what we can say thank you to God for that you have made out of Play-Doh. So has anyone finished anything that they want to share? Keris, what have you made that you want to say thank you to God for?
Birdie.
Can you say?
Birdie.
A birdie. You want to say thank you to God for all the birds. That's a very nice thing to say thank you to God for. What do you want to say thank you to God for?
Balloon.
You made a balloon. So saying thank you for balloons. What about you?
For my teddy.
For teddy bears. Very good to say thank you to God for teddy bears. Anyone else want to share anything? What have you made, Joshua?
Spiders.
You might be the only one saying thank you to God. Okay, that's a very good thing to say thank you to God for. I'm not too keen on spiders myself. What have you made, Nora?
Family.
For family, yeah. Very good to say thank you to God for them. What have you made, Danik?
Sausages.
Yeah. I think someone over there had made a custard cream and said thank you to God for custard creams. So, yes, there are some very personal things that we can say thank you to God for. Samuel?
A boat.
Ah, you like boats. You want to say thank you to God for boats, yes. And what have you made?
Food.
Food, yeah, just general food. We're very thankful to God for food. So many different things that we can say thank you to God for. And so we're just going to finish now. by praying to God and saying a thank you prayer together. So if you can put your piece of Play-Doh down on the mat, and we're just going to talk to God to say thank you to him. Lord, we thank you so much that there's so much in this world that we can say thank you to you for. And maybe it's things that we like and other people don't like, but we thank you that you have made us all individuals so we can all enjoy things in different ways. We thank you that we can talk to you and that we can share all of our hopes and our dreams and our sorries and our thank yous and our pleases with you. Amen. Amen. If you could give me back your Play-Doh, that would be great. Thank you.
You've got some kink. Can you put it in that one?
Got your blue. You go and find. Thank you. Put that in the pink bag. Thank you very much.
Very good. Well done. Right. Oh, thank you very much. Brilliant. Well done. Lots of lovely things to say thank you for. And I thank God for Ruth's brilliant ideas so we can pray together like this. God does such wonderful things for us. Let's stand and sing together. Sing to the Lord, awaken the dawn. Sit down and invite those going out to their different groups to do that right now. The God who holds the whole world in his hands, a holy God who created all of this. We stand to sing together, holy. Holy, holy.
Oh,
as Kelvin and Judith come to lead us in prayer. Thank you.
First of all, I've been asked to read a psalm, one of my favourite psalms. Our small group is looking at our favourite psalms at the moment, and we're using the Swedish Bible study method that Richard taught us to look at them. I've chosen Psalm 46 as one of my favourites. It was probably written when Jerusalem was under great threat. But note that Jerusalem, like many big cities, does not have a river flowing through it. So this psalm must have had a much deeper meaning as well. Let me first read a couple of verses from Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And now Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Good morning, everybody. In July 2011, Vivian led the service, and she actually said the most beautiful prayer. And afterwards, I asked her if she could write it down for me. And I've kept it with me because it's really challenging and it means such a lot to me. So I'm actually going to, with Vivian's permission, start with just a portion of the prayer that she gave to me, and then I'll carry on praying after that. So let's pray together. We thank you, Almighty God, for your great love for us, shown in the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the many blessings we enjoy, far beyond our deserving, hoping, or asking. You are so good to us, and yet we are so often ungrateful, thoughtless, and forgetful of you. Please accept our praise and gratitude. We thank you for your readiness to hear and forgive, and we bring our prayers of confession to you. We confess the sins that no one knows but you, and the sins which everyone knows, the sins which burden us and fill us with guilt, and the sins which have ceased to bother us because we've got used to them. Remind us, Lord, that we are made in your image and that we're meant to live and walk with you and reflect the light of your love to a dark world, especially as we remember the tragic events of this week in Manchester. Lord, our hearts and prayers flow out to all those who grieve for the sudden loss of children or adults in their family, their friendship, or their community circle. We cannot imagine the suffering or truly put into words our own grief, sometimes unable to put our prayers into words. So we humbly implore your Holy Spirit to intercede for us. We lift up all those who stepped in to help selflessly, giving of their time, loving arms and words of comfort and anything else that was needed. For the medical teams, as they continue to treat victims whose lives have been changed forever, both physically and emotionally. And also for the Christians of Manchester and beyond, who reach out with your love and beacon of light and hope in the very difficult days ahead. For the police and emergency services, all of whom had to deal with the full horror of this attack whilst working at their full professional level, bring peace of mind, we pray. Help us, Lord, to be people who love, respect and honour all those whom we meet, recognising in them that they too were created in your image and they too may have the same struggles as we have. We draw our prayers now nearer to home as we lift up Jackie, whose Uncle Trevor died suddenly on Friday. Although he'd been ill for some while, it's still a shock and a dreadful loss. Be with the family and Jackie in their sadness. We pray for all in NBC who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, bring them comfort and that which you know is most needed at this time. We lift up First Thursday lunch to you, taking place this coming Thursday. We give thanks for so many who look forward to this wonderful opportunity for so many to fellowship together and enjoy a nutritious lunch. Especially we uphold Dot, who heads up the practicalities of this lunch, and of course the whole team, without whom this would not be possible.
Father, as we continue to think about the bombing in Manchester, let us also remember the 28 Coptic Christians killed and the 25 injured by gunmen in Egypt a couple of days ago, just because they were Christians. We ask that you be with and comfort the families of those who have lost loved ones. Enhance the skills of those looking after the injured ones and bless them with a good recovery. Father, we also pray for those affected by the British Airways computer crash, particularly as it was happening over a bank holiday half-term weekend. We particularly think of people with young children and those that are frail who tend to suffer most on these occasions. Also, Ian Valance, who many of us know and was due to take some children abroad very early this morning. We pray they got away safely. With elections this year in many of the G9 nations whose leaders have just met in Italy, we pray that you would give those leaders wisdom to deal with the choppy and sometimes stormy waters that they encounter both at home and abroad. Loving God, in particular, we pray at this time for the election coming up in our own country in 11 days' time. Thank you for caring about our country, how our country is run, and that we have the right to vote for our politicians and government. But in the run-up to this general election, there are so many policies to understand, so many different points of view to consider. Sometimes we wonder whether there's any point in voting, whether anyone cares what we think. As we choose who we are to vote for, help us not to be cynical about politics and politicians. Help us to remember that our vote can make a difference. Guide us to vote for those people who will uphold the values that Jesus taught us while he was here on earth, and do all they can to make our nation safe, a safe place and fair and peaceful. Father, we offer up all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ and in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand to sing.
Our reading this morning is 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 to 18, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word once again, and we thank you for the freedom that we have to declare it in public. Just ask, my Lord, that you would be with Richard in every word, and he would be aware of your presence, and that you would also be with us in our response, and that we will go from this place ready to do your will. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Ingrid. Going really low tech today. Here's a picture of your week. It's got all the days of the week on it. Let me cut away Monday to Friday, because that's gone already. No point looking at those. So now we're left with the weekend. And in fact, you've had Saturday already, haven't you? So we'll get rid of that as well. So here we are, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And we get to spend a 24th of it together. So this is kind of approximate, but I'll take 24th out. There it is. You're having to look more and more carefully. There's an hour that we spend together on a Sunday. And then I'm going to take out of that around about a quarter of that hour, which is the time I get to speak to you. There it is. That's all the time that I've got this morning to say something worthwhile to you about praying. It's not much, really, is it? And it's really, really got to count. There's a lot riding on it. You know, when I got my first radio gig, you know, and I first got signed up to Radio 2, I first of all began with Janice Long's show, and that's 250,000 at a time, and listening to that. And then after that, I got moved on to Sarah Kennedy's show. And on that programme, there were between 3 and 5 million people at a time listening to it. And I managed to arrange this meeting with a bishop who'd been doing broadcasting for years and years. And he was going to pass on this great bit of advice. And I was just waiting for it to come. It was my that moment. Just waiting for this pearl of wisdom to drop. And he said, just listen. And that was it. That was all he had to say. Just listen. It was a bit of an anticlimax, really. And it's a bit that way with Hannah and her praying. Is that it? You know, here is this woman who will give birth to Samuel, and Samuel will anoint David, and David will begin the royal line that stretches all the way to Jesus. Hannah will, by the end of this story, overturn years of teasing and misery and self-loathing, and thereby become a mother. But when it comes down to it, her prayer, well, you tell me what she said. We don't actually know. You know, it does record the vow that she made. I guess she wrote that down afterwards. But we don't actually know what she even said. Her mouth is moving and nobody can hear what is coming out. So if the tiny segment that I've got to tell you something worthwhile about praying all comes from Hannah and she doesn't even say anything, what have I got to tell you that is of any benefit this morning? Well, here's the first thing. Pray with abandon. We don't really do abandon, do we? We don't lead terribly risky lives. You know, we might have two ginger biscuits instead of one with our cup of tea. We might sit on this side of church instead of that side of church. We might go somewhere different on holiday. But most of us are pretty risk averse. But you know what? That natural caution that's there in the rest of our lives then starts to invade the time that we spend with God. And in that time when only he is listening, that caution all comes in as well. And those of you who are here last week, I was saying to you, we have to be very careful because if we pray bland prayers, we will get bland answers. But there's nothing cautious or bland about the way that Hannah prays here. For a start, she gets up and leaves the table with everybody watching. All the eyes in the room are following her. Verse 9, when they'd finished eating and drinking, she stood up and she walks past them and she goes to the door. Everyone can see her. And there's the priest at the door. And she knows there's a danger of him overhearing her prayer. She knows there's a danger of him seeing fit to comment on it, which he did. And then when she gets in there with the priest watching at the door and everyone's seen her walk away from the dinner table and go to pray, when she's praying, she does it with such a sense of abandon that the priest thinks she is drunk. Just the same thing that happened on Pentecost Day. Remember the way the people were behaving? They said, "What the heck have you had to drink?" When was the last time any one of us in here prayed with such a sense of abandon that somebody thought we'd been at the bottle? When were we going for it so much that somebody looked at us or overheard us and said, "What the heck is going on here? The way that you are praying." And you know, Hannah's prayers come from a very, very deep place. Verse 15, she says, "I've been deeply troubled." Literally, it says, "I'm praying out of a deep bitterness of soul." And her prayer touched her so deeply that she made this irrevocable and possibly foolish vow where she says, "Look, you know, if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you." This is praying with abandon. This is the kind of prayer we get from Moses when it's all gone wrong, Exodus 32. And he speaks to God. He says, "Oh, what a sin these people have committed. They've made for themselves these gods of gold. Please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book of life as well." This is the kind of prayer that's prayed by Isaiah with the temple, remember, shaking all around about him and the earth quaking beneath him. And he raises his voice above the noise of it all and says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." It's the kind of prayer that's prayed by Christ in the garden as he sweats great drops of blood as he's praying. And he says to the Lord, "Not my will, but yours." It's the kind of prayer prayed by young William Carey. This impetuous young man who stood up at a mission meeting to offer his life in mission service to God and was told, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help." But he wouldn't listen, and he went on and he did it. And the time came when he found himself on a long, long sea voyage to India. And how many prayers went up during that? And how many years he served until he saw the fruit. And then looking back on it, he wrote this: "Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness." Hand on heart, have you ever prayed like Hannah did here? Completely consumed by it, completely given over to it, carried along by it, like a bit of tumbleweed being blown in the wind. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me just a few times. I'll tell you about three of them. One of them, young boy, Alexander, was born with a defect in his heart. And instead of blood coming in and getting oxygenated and then going out again, he had one loop that was oxygenated blood and one that wasn't, and you can't live that way. Alexander had to, for a year, but it sounds awful, he had to be kind of fattened up so he was big enough for surgery. And then the night before he was operated on, the church came together. And babes in arms and people in pushchairs and elderly people, all sorts of people came together with a picture of him on the screen, and they pounded on heaven's door and said, please, will you save him? He's in his local football team now, their lead striker. Or the time that I was in Serbia and I'd just finished teaching my students, and I finished them not when the lecture course was over, but when the Serbian government took them away and they were being loaded onto buses and they were being sent to fight on the front in Kosovo. And I prayed for those students like I'd never prayed before. Or the time that someone came to see me in my office, the church I was in at the time, my office was up 3 flights of stairs. And this person came to me to tell me all about how they had got involved in the occult and it was tearing them apart. And when I went downstairs and let them out of the building, I can only describe it as flying back up those stairs and hurling myself on my knees and praying for the soul of that person. And I thank God for those experiences, but I'm ashamed that I was able to number them to you. There should be so many that I shouldn't even be able to give you a list. The need is urgent all around about us, whether we realize it or not. You know, I got really excited when I saw this banner. I thought, my goodness, look at what the churches of Manchester are doing. Isn't that fab? And the BBC was featuring it, this banner 17 meters long saying, pray for Manchester. It wasn't the churches. It was the Stretford End Flag Supporters Club. Because actually, if you see one of their other banners, Manchester is my heaven, you probably get the idea it's not the churches. And it's not that it wasn't a good idea, but why wasn't it the churches? Because the need is all around about it, and it's great that people were doing it, but the need is so urgent that we need to be praying with abandon. What is it? The hymn says, with none to hear their crying for life and love and light. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. Teach us, dear God, to pray with abandon, but also to abandon with prayer. You see, here's the weird thing. After all the years of anguish, and after the heart-wrenching prayer, and after the really very awkward conversation with the priest where she says, no, I'm not drunk, truly I'm not, and after the stomach-churning vow where she's dared to say this awful, terrible, wonderful thing to God. After all of that, there's an almost sudden transformation. Look at verse 18, second half of it. Then she went her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. But really? Just like that? It doesn't suggest that the matter wasn't serious. We know it was serious. It doesn't imply that the prayer was not sincere. In fact, quite the reverse. But it implies that the faith was very, very great. Yes, we need to pray with abandon. But once we have deposited our need, whatever it may be, at the foot of the cross, and friends, we need to learn to leave it there. Peter, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. James writing and saying how we ought to pray. When you ask, as Hannah was doing, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed around by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So we pray with abandon, but we also abandon with prayer. We put it at the feet of the cross and we say, well, God will deal with that now. You know, I was taught a real lesson with this. My first church, the holiday club, was a really big thing. It was always at Easter time. And one year came when there was nobody to lead it. And so Muggins stepped up and said I would do it. And we always used to do a games afternoon on the Friday afternoon. And all morning, it had been like yesterday morning, you know, where it was storm and then sun. And we got to the point where we were supposed to leave the building. So I was stood on the doorstep, and behind me were 60 children desperate to get to the park. And I was a very young Christian and a very young pastor. And I was still, oh, should we go? Should we not go? Look at the cloud. What should we do? And some dear, blessed soul, some older Christian in the church, said quite quietly to me so that the children couldn't hear, we prayed for dry weather. We trust for dry weather. Let's go. Trust him. Pray with abandon, yes, but abandon with prayer and leave it at his feet. It should make us different. We should come out of praying different to the way that we went in. Hannah went in, a broken woman pouring out her heart to God. She came out with her countenance clear and able to eat something and to say, well, I've handed that over to him now. You know, 3 years ago, the Belgian government were having a huge problem with road safety and particularly with speeding. And they tried all kinds of different things and eventually discovered that, you know, those road signs that flash up a smiley face if you're doing the right speed and a miserable face if you're doing the wrong one. Well, they discovered that if you had real human faces on that, people took even more notice of it. Then they discovered that if you not only had real human faces, but if you uploaded your own face onto it, and there was a danger of you seeing your own face, well, then it had another response. I even had a go. Like, I don't want to terrify you. I won't leave it on the screen for long. Thankfully, I don't read Flemish, so I couldn't then upload it to the site itself. So no Belgian driver has been driven off the road by the sight of my face. But, you know, we should look different when we finish praying to the way we look when we started. We should look like people who've handed a burden over. Of course, we're still concerned about the thing we were praying about. Of course, we haven't forgotten about it. But every fibre of us needs to say that we have entrusted this to someone who can actually do something about it. People going into a prayer meeting should look like they are carrying a burden. People coming out of it should look like they have handed that burden over. And I thank God for the experience we've had on Monday lunchtimes of that. People coming down, spending a little bit of time together and going away with a spring in their step. It should make a difference. And if it's not, then something's wrong. If praying about a thing makes no discernible difference to the way we feel about it, then something needs to change. Prayer needs to stop being something we do if we have to and start being something we have to do. Prayer needs to stop being the preserve of the few, and it needs to start being the habit of the many. You know, on a spiritual heat map of Newbury, we now need to be able to look down and see the white hot heat of the urgent prayers of the people from Newbury Baptist Church for those around about who are not yet saved. Friends, we have got things to learn, even when we've got only a tiny bit of time to learn it. You know, that same bishop that I went to for the advice on prayer, one of his pet hates was people who used to say, well, my church is a really good teaching church. Because he would always say, well, is it a good learning church? In other words, whatever's coming out of the pulpit, what are you actually taking from it? It's about taking the learning and doing something with it. I love this. This is a quilt made by a woman called Gerda Lerner. She was a Holocaust survivor, became a doctor of history and a women's studies. And over the years, she was given 18 honorary doctorates. And she had them made into a quilt. And she used to say to people, well, it's not just the learning, it's the application of learning. It's doing something with it. Friends, just think of the prayers we've looked at together these past 6 weeks. We looked at David praying in the middle of chaos. We looked at Mary praying with quietness and confidence. We looked at Moses praying with audacity and persistence. We looked at Paul praying and wanting to make a difference to the lives of those for whom he prayed. And we looked at Hannah, praying with abandon and abandoning with prayer. What has God been teaching you about praying? And how are you going to apply it? I wonder. Let's pray together. Father, for your word which brings life, for your spirit which changes all things, for the call to pray to you, we thank you. We ask that you'd help us to pray like our very lives depended upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We sing an old hymn together, Take My Life and Let It Be. And now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.